This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Good morning and welcome. We are back here on a Thursday. And it's the one day a week I know exactly what day it is because Paul comes in and I'm like, okay, it's Thursday. We've been doing this a very long time. And in all those years, I don't ever recall knowing that President Theodore Roosevelt was actually in Decatur in 1903. But it's on the front page of the Decatur Tribune today.
Yeah, yeah. Mark Sorensen, the county historian, wrote that, put that together, and asked if I'd be interested in that. And we used to attract a lot back in the days when they took train trips across the country, and his stop in Decatur was part of a much longer train trip that the presidents took then. They didn't fly around in 1903, but they tried to stay in touch with the citizens in the country. So, yeah, he was in Decatur. And I mentioned before we went on the air, when Milliken was 100 years old, back in 2003, and I was mayor, I played Teddy Roosevelt. I still have the house, the hat that I wore in the closet. And every once in a while, I think, someday I may take that out and just wear it to the post office and see how many looks I get.
I think you should. Well, you bring it in with the show. We'll give it a test run. Of course, they named at that point, newest junior high school after Roosevelt in 1921. And there's a great picture of him on the campus of Milliken University. He is an interesting cat to me. When you look through the historical sort of biographies of presidents and men and women, who were leaders around the world, Roosevelt's an interesting guy.
Oh, yeah.
Hard to put in a box.
Well, yeah, and I think sometimes, in recent years, they've confused even Roosevelt Junior High School, which is where I attended, with Franklin Roosevelt. Well, this wasn't Franklin. This was Teddy Roosevelt, they named that after. He was a very popular president. He's kind of like what they used to say, a man's man. He was a rough rider, He had many adventures, and he kind of captured the imagination of the public, and I think that's
he was a Republican, but was a huge anti-trust guy. He'd be on Facebook today breaking up that whole party in a heartbeat. A founder of the national parks, he was a guy who conservation meant a lot to. I mean, he was a weird, just not when I say weird, I don't mean he was weird. He was a weird mix of things. When we look at our ideology today, you've got to be all this or you got to be all that, and there's no in-between. He was an in-between guy.
Yeah, he was, and I think that's the kind of leaders that made this country great and built this country. And I think when you look at the quality people that were president, in the past, and what they did and what they contributed and what they were as people, and a lot of independent thought that they had. And it wasn't so much party affiliation back then or towing the line. It's what they felt was best for the country. It's what they wanted to do. And you read stories about Teddy Roosevelt, and you mentioned some of the things that he did. People wanted to meet this guy. And so when he arrived in Decatur, he had special coach, the special train, presidential train, the coach was there. And I have a picture in my archives of that coach parked in front with the Milliken a main hall tower behind it.
Yeah.
They inspired people. They show up in Decatur or some other community in Illinois or in the Midwest. Yeah, this is the president coming here. And I think it meant a lot more then than it even does now, because that was your chance to meet your president up close and personal.
Yeah, he was the youngest guy ever to be president, too, at 42. People don't remember that. I mean, I think everybody looked older back then, compared to like President Obama maybe or others. But he is an interesting guy, and I had no idea that he had spent time in Decatur.
Yeah, and I think Decatur has a lot of interesting history like that you start.
Well, Mark's all over that stuff.
Yeah, 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 he is, and that's what he loves, and that's what he loves to write about. And I think you look at Decatur's history. There was a lot of national history that came through Decatur or happened in Decatur, and the contacts that we had in Decatur and Macon County back at that time, we had strong party leaders here. Going back a long way in my history, Skinny Taylor with the Republican Party and so many of them that were outstanding, they had the clout to invite people here you know, the national celebrities and national political entities to invite them, and they would come to Decatur. And I think that's so much the reason in the 70s, especially the 70s and 80s, you know, that we attracted national political figures to Decatur, Illinois. And we had ADM, Caterpillar. We also had industries here that made it attractive for them to visit here. So Decatur has been in the mix for a long time. And I think we need to recognize that part of our history is that independent thought and that can-do attitude that we've seen in leaders in the past.
About 3,000 people were there at the Wabash Crossing. You can still see the remnants of the building over there in the photos. Was that a pretty good-sized crowd back in 1903?
I would think so, yeah. Well, you have to realize also Decatur's population back at that time was a lot less than it is now. So percentage-wise, that was a huge chunk of people from Decatur and Macon County, and I'm sure probably some of the farming communities, too, that they came in to see Teddy Roosevelt. And he spoke, I think, there for like 30 minutes or something, which was...
He liked to talk.
Yeah, he did. So I don't know if he would work well with TV today where they had like one-minute sound bites or something. He wanted to get the message, and I don't think anyone left.
I think there's a few politicians from the past, one of them being Teddy Roosevelt, that the red-blue war that we have going on in this country wouldn't be able... He wouldn't be reconciled on either side.
No, he's not. And I think that's what made him, you know, a great president and people that wanted to see him and admire him. And I think it's one thing to have a president, and it's another thing for people to admire that president because of all he's been and all he is right now. And and that's what I look for today. I really do. I look for someone today who's more interested in the people of this country than party affiliation, even though that's important in getting elected these days. I want independent thought going into our leaders.
Won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1906 and began construction of the Panama Canal. I mean, there's so many things. And most historians, put him like top five in presidencies. And he doesn't get – I feel like he doesn't – maybe because we live in the land of Lincoln and everything's Lincoln, he doesn't seem to get that kind of recognition historically or to the broad public, it doesn't seem.
No, and I think...
They're not making movies.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Lincoln, of course, the assassination of Lincoln even put, you know, like a bigger marquee on his legend because of the way that he died. And because you look at Lincoln, and he was from Illinois. He's a kind of a native son as far as New Salem and everything else we've associated
but,
with.
But, I mean, but Roosevelt got the presidency after McKinley was assassinated. I mean, so there's plenty of drama there, too, right?
Yeah.
Governor of New York, all kinds of things under his belt. Interesting stuff. So there you have. You went to Roosevelt? I went to Roosevelt for, I think, 1 year.
Yeah, I went there, and I was thinking of something. They used to start the day off with a bugle every morning.
Yeah.
Did they do that when you were there, Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They would raise the flag out in front.
Yeah,
and had the bugle. I think I have some photos, too.
Who played the bugle?
Student.
Yeah.
Well, what if you didn't have a student that knew how to play the bugle?
You find a student.
Yeah.
So it wasn't always good.
Yeah. One I heard, it wasn't really that good, but he was playing the bugle. So,
Was that a Roosevelt thing?
I don't know.
It's part of his like caricature lore, you know, the hat, the bugle, the, you know, all of that. I mean, I remember him being kind of lampooned in Arsenic and Old Lace, you know, he certainly was larger than life.
Yeah. I think Nick has the right phrase. He was larger than life. He lived his life larger than life, and he got things done that way.
Yeah. And as a kid, was a very sick child, asthma, and overcame a lot of stuff. So there you go. It's a great scrapbook today. Kudos to Mark Sorensen. I really enjoyed that. I want to read it in full when I get the time. All right. Let's talk about the naysayers. I go back and forth on, do you give oxygen to these people? And I just think that there's such ridiculous public statements made about anytime Howard gets involved with anything that I'm always a little stunned that people just don't have the ability to just say thank you and be appreciative. I'm always surprised that people are so tacky in telling other people what to do with their charitable donations.
Yeah, when you wonder if they're giving a dollar to anything.
No, personally. Of course they're not. They're too busy on Facebook ranting. We didn't get this stuff. We wouldn't allow this stuff. But the other media, you know, they do what they do. And you had quoted one person saying in your column today, you know, why isn't he giving money to homeless veterans? I think that was the cause, right?
Yeah.
I will personally tell you what I know of personally, because we've done three of these fundraisers for Ann and her group that supports the veterans here. There's been at least several hundred thousand dollars raised for that group with the Howard G. Buffett Foundation. And exactly who do you think is using food banks? I mean, I think there are people who think homeless veterans are in another category, that they don't actually need food or help or care, that they're a different thing. I don't even get that.
Well, that was my first reaction when I read that comment. And some of these comments, I guess they bother me because I know how stupid they are and how wrong they are, and they don't know what they're talking about. And I've told you before we went on the air, and also I've repeated on here, I am so happy that Howard Buffett sees in this community things that he wants to support and wants to give to. He could do that in any city in the world, and they would welcome him with open arms. He chooses Decatur and Macon County, you know, for his home. He's a part of the community. And you look around this community and see a lot of the things that we have today because of his care about this community. And then you want to call him names in that?
Well, here's the actual quote. Why doesn't this clown donate to homeless vets? Oh, wait, he probably wouldn't make any money off of it. Buffett, you are a clown.
Yeah.
Now, I think to myself, when I see this stuff, it's hurtful to people. I mean, even people who have the wherewithal to give a lot of money. I mean, can you imagine if you showed up to make a gift or a donation to somebody and they cussed you out for doing it?
Yeah.
You'd probably go, I'm doing that ever again. human beings,
yeah.
Right? This idea about making money off of something, what is that?
I don't know. I think anyone that has money, they think the only way they will keep making money is to give gifts, and they're not going to give gifts to help homeless people unless they make money off of it. And just like
such an ignorant statement. I'm sure this is a really unhappy person, with all kinds of maybe mental health issues. I don't know. But why is it that people are so cynical about people? I mean, we get this. I can't tell you how many times over the 20 years of doing this food drive where your integrity gets questioned.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, you don't have to support this. You don't have to give to this. But you really don't have any standing to be judging what I'm doing with my charity.
Yeah. Well, it says to me a lot about the person who's making comments, how they view the world.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
right?
That's sick.
It's sad.
Is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe it goes back to what we talked about a month ago. There's really mental health issues involved here that, the person I know when I drive around this community, when I drive home at night, there's a whole complex, law enforcement center. That's like a city itself.
But you know what I'd like to do, though? I mean, I really wish that I could have some real FaceTime with these people and explain to him, this gentleman in particular, the passion that Howard has for that Community Cares campus, and why that was built was because of so many veterans and law enforcement people and first responders that end up with drug addiction problems, a young man who worked for us for a little while before COVID, that Howard has made, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 attempts to get straight, who's a former Marine. You're a fool.
Yeah.
You just don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I think that's it. I think the other side of this, too, is that among all those comments, so many of them were saying, God bless you, Howard.
Of course.
Yeah, and so you have those people that look at this, and they have the right perspective. And I think the one comment made by the gentleman, not only thanking Howard Buffett, but everyone else who contributed to the food drive, that guy's got his head on straight. He sees the proper perspective. He thanks everybody involved. So there's a huge difference, and you wonder, how does one person get here to where the person donating this is doing it for some sinister reason, and the other person is saying, thank you so much, we appreciate it, and everybody else who gave.
I think part of it is just the base politics that we have in this country, us versus them. Nick and I were having this conversation earlier. We've done a lot of politicizing rich versus poor, and there's these stereotypes that go with this stuff. Look, Howard is the least rich acting guy that I know. I mean, there's no pretension. There's no, I mean, you know, his dad made a fortune. They want to give that fortune away. The kids found their passion. He has done so much. There's never, ever once an angle other than how do we, can we make a difference? How can we impact lives? And let's think outside the box. And I was just incredibly blown away with the offer to donate $1 million. You know, what it means is 8.1 million pounds. I'll put it in perspective for you. I was having this conversation yesterday. We used to line up 4 semi-trucks from ADM out at Kroger to load front to back, bottom to top, right? 8.1 million pounds is 90 semis.
Wow.
Full of food.
Wow. But like I wrote, it's hard to for the mind to grasp how much food.
Well, that gives
you
a little bit of an idea, right?
Yeah.
Think about passing 90 trucks, you know, on a highway lined up, you know, back to back to back to back.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so there's got to be some evil intent there, Paul.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is the best thing that happens in this community, and it shows the spirit of giving, and I've said this to you
But I will
before.
Tell you, every year, this is the kind of stuff you deal with. And so it's okay. I mean, you know, we were just talking about Teddy Roosevelt. You got to have some intestinal fortitude and be able to go, okay, whatever.
Got to be a rough rider.
You got to be a little bit, you know. That's okay. But I tell you, it does get old. It gets old for me. I know it gets old for him. And I don't ever take it for granted. And I think about those people who make those public kind of comments, you know, usually on media's, you know, social media, trying to capture a larger audience. And I think, you know, this is going to go away someday, and maybe you're a part of it. And thank you for, ruining something for the entire community. Thanks for jumping on that bandwagon.
Yeah, you know, I think when I also look at this person, the fact is, even though he would write something like this, and there are a few others that do also, you'll benefit from this if you're hungry.
I know.
Yeah. You're benefiting from the very thing you're criticizing. You may have food coming to you. Or somebody you love or
care about, or if it's not that cause, it's another one.
Don't tell me you love this community and you resent someone donating food to help people.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have something else going on in your mind.
Back in the last year, Nick and I went through the entire giving of all of the projects here in the Decatur and Macon County area. And it's hard pressed to believe that there's anyone out there listening or posting or doing whatever that hasn't had either themselves or someone in their general vicinity impacted by these gifts.
Yeah.
Because it's just been too broad and too many for them not to have been.
You know, I think also you look at this too, and again, to me, this is Decatur's finest day. Mm-hmm. It is. It's finest day where we come together, no politics. It's just giving to help other people. And I congratulate you, and I have so many times, for providing this avenue. A lot of people have wanted to give in the past. They didn't know exactly how or if they should give it here. You know, you have provided that. You've provided and built that one day with that avenue where you want to give to help people. You want to give to help the hungry. You can do it on this day. You can do it any day, but you can do it on this day in a very easy way. And
the vast majority of people do, Paul. What I was blown away yesterday Friday when we got done and I stopped into, or maybe it was right before we got done, I went into the bank, which is, you know, the area we have where they're doing the checks and reconciliation and you know, printing out all the stuff. And there's an orange slip that gets filled out for every donation that's made that day. And the orange slip isn't important to the audience. It's just what they hand us to read on the air. And we turn around and hand it back, and then they reconcile it with the check or the payment and put it into the book so that we can thank everyone. And when I looked at the stack of those orange slips, because I only see them like 20 at a time, you know, all day long for 12 hours, it was just unbelievably large. And every one of those pieces of paper accounted for a human being that decided to give.
Yeah, and felt good about giving.
And it was $3 to $30,000. And everything in between, but it you know, that stack of good-hearted, kind, generous people will outweigh these folks on Facebook any day of the week, in my estimation.
Yeah. Well, I think you're like me in the terms, you know, you can write about or say something about me. Well, that's okay if that's how you feel. I resent you writing about people that I know that are generous, giving people. That does hurt me.
Oh, I know, because everybody's got the inside scoop.
Yeah, they know. They've met, you know, they've met the person. They know what kind of personality. It's just like, you're lying.
I know. I mean, I think the most ridiculous one was, you know, that he rolled a car with Eva Longoria in it, you know, and then paid everybody to cover it up. And I'm like, what world are you living in?
Yeah, you need to go to Hollywood. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You know, I think also, and I'm not really saying this to, you know, to flatter you, I don't think I've ever heard of a member of the media that has done anything any greater for a community in terms of direct help to community than the WSOY Community Food Drive. I mean, I'm in awe of this every year. I am. Like, this is what we're about. And this spring, you know, it's not only the giving, it's the feeling you have about the community after that day. You know, the sun's going down and that, and you think, that was a beautiful day. This is a beautiful day in this community.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, Paul. I just consider us as sort of the vehicle. I mean, when we open up and ask people to give, it's the incredibly generous people of this community. It's also, to me, an affirmation of what most of my day-to-day life looks like. My life doesn't look like Facebook. I mean, I go to meetings. I mean, now this last year and a half, a lot of them have been on Zoom, you know, a little different. But it's people trying to figure out how to help people, how to make things better, how to do things to improve. It's not people screaming at each other. And I think that all too often, we, and I blame Facebook. I mean, there's plenty of blame on their end. But we act like that's real life. And it's not. Last Friday at that Kroger and through Venmo and online and calling First Christian Church, that's real life.
Yeah.
That's real people.
Well, real life and real concern is about others. And I've always felt that. And it's the tenet of the Christian faith. It's not yourself. It's what you do for other people.
Yep.
And you're doing for other people on that day. And I think because certainly you look at the result of this each year, not only this year, the result of that. And regardless of what's happening in the community and all the negative comments that you read or see or hear or get, this is a great community. And it just, that's the day where Decatur and Macon County Central, we really shine on that day.
Yep.
And I'm proud.
Thank you, Paul. And thank you for your continued support and your donation as well. We really appreciate it. City Hall Insider, worth picking up a copy today just for the Teddy Roosevelt stuff. I'm telling you. I'm in a Roosevelt mood now. I'm going to take a deep dive this weekend.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.